what it is. It's an intense 3-day of washing yourself with the Word and getting rid of the things that are blocking you from being more intimate and more just so close to Jesus. And so it is very good. Want to remind you today, after the sermon, you know, you are free to be dismissed, you know, during the song after my sermon. If you would like to, if you want to stay, you can. Last week I mentioned for those of you that want to participate today in the foot washing that you were to bring some of your stuff, but some of you weren't here. If you would like to participate in the foot washing there after the church service, then you are more than welcome to do so. We do have extra towels and basins for that. But there's not been a lot of teaching on foot washing, and as Carolyn had brought up to me when she first came into the church, when I looked and reflect back, it's one of the most humbling, well, you're going to be taught on it today. So at the end of the sermon, if you want to stay for it, great. Do not feel guilty if you don't, but you might want to in the future, because you can do this at home, you can do it with a wife and child or friend or neighbor. This is something that you'll learn today that is a very, very humbling act of service. And again, we don't want you to feel bad or guilty. You're free during the song to leave and may do this in the future. But you're also free to watch and stay for those that have decided that they do want to participate in this, okay? And if you weren't here last week, you missed out. So, but you didn't really, because you can participate if you'd like. I'm going to play a one-minute clip here of just, it's in the Hebrew, of Jesus and what he did for his disciples prior to being crucified. And then we'll get into the sermon and we'll read the scriptures and we'll learn a little bit about foot washing. Atmosphere, Father, today as we talk about this very humbling act of Jesus to his disciples and his words to us to follow suit, I just ask that the Holy Spirit would be the one who would convey a message to our hearts, including my own, in regards to humility, in regards to service, in regards to this blessed event that occurred prior to the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. So I just submit myself to you, Lord, and may your words again be anointed to touch all of our hearts and minds whenever and if ever we participate in this wonderful act of humility in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, John chapter 13, let's read it. It's verses 1 through 15. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he was going to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, this Jesus, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to actually betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God. Wow. This Jesus, God himself, got up from supper, laid aside his garments, taking a towel, he wrapped it around himself, or he girded himself. Then he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded with. So he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, "Lord, Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments and reclined at the table again. And he said to them, "Do you," how much does he do this to us? "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord," God Almighty, right? "The Lord and the teacher," capital T. "If I washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." There's tremendous natural and spiritual truth in this passage, as you can see, when we talk about washing. You can wash things in the natural, and we can be washed by the word spiritually, right? So Jesus is conveying both a physical act of humility and servanthood. At the same time, he is conveying a message to the disciples in a spiritual manner, which they couldn't quite understand yet. Why? Because the Holy Spirit really hadn't come to all of them yet, right? He breathed on them at one point in time to go out and do a work of service, but the Holy Spirit became resident when he sent them at Pentecost. And he knew that the disciples would get all this at Pentecost and begin writing all the scriptures. Prior to that, there's no way they could have wrote one word of this. You don't remember what I preached last week. How would you write in this book, right? How are these guys going to remember everything that they did? Because it's not them. It's God in them. And so what I want to teach today is basically what Jesus very simply taught here. Some physical and natural principles as well as spiritual principles I think we all need, as he said, to follow example with. And it doesn't have to, and again, trust me, it doesn't have to be here today in this service, for those of you that are not prepared for that. But keep this in mind, because at some point in time, this is one of the most blessed things that you can do at home or for someone, and especially for someone that maybe you might not want to do it for, but the Lord calls you to do it for. Okay, let's get into this a little bit. It seems to me that the real meaning of this teaching on foot washing is to be found in the very first verse of this passage, which says, "Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them until the end." Our Lord washed the feet of his disciples to show us that to the last moment of his interaction with them, I'm going to try not to get emotional, because when I wrote this, I got emotional, but I haven't looked at it since then. But he washed God Almighty, and this is what gets me, is washing the disciples' feet to show to the last moment of his interaction with them, he was full of the deepest and truest love for them and was willing to perform the most menial action for their good. God of all the universe, strips himself of his clothing, gets down on a knee, and takes a wash basin and washes the dirt off of his disciples' feet. You gotta have an unconditional love for that God has for us. Jesus was about the, again, I want you to just get into the frame of mind. That's why I showed the beginning clip. Jesus was about to depart out of this world unto the Father. And though he was facing, now listen, he was facing the agony of crucifixion, he did not forget his disciples. I'd be thinking to myself, oh my gosh, Father, you sent me on assignment, and this assignment's going to mean nails in my hands and nails in my feet, and I'm going to be in agony, I'm going to have asphyxiation, I'm not going to be able to breathe, I'm going to bleed from every pore of my body, I'm going to be crying out to you, why have you forsaken me? Because the humanity part of me is going, I'm being ripped apart. I'd be like, God, that's all that would be on my mind of how could I avoid some of this, or what could I do? And in Jesus' mind, instead of thinking about what he was about to go into, he's thinking of his disciples. And guys, what I want to tell you today, he was thinking of you. He had every one of us in mind as he faced the agony of crucifixion. He did not forget his disciples, but he graciously ministered to them with this humbling act of kindness, facing the worst possible death anyone could imagine. And if you think about it, what he's about to suffer, his thoughtfulness of his friends becomes all the more remarkable. He could have easily sought pity and comfort from his friends. Instead, he forgot himself and all of the pain and the grief and the death which lay before him. He spent his last moments comforting and serving his followers. How many times have you laid, and maybe some of you hadn't had the experience where a loved one is dying, they've lived a good life, they know the Lord, you could see the joy of the Lord in their face, they know they're getting ready to meet their Savior and stuff like that. You're bawling your eyes out because you're about to, you think you're losing someone, but really you're going to find them, you know, and they're just going home. But we still get emotional because, you know, there's going to be a separation for a while, and we're bawling our eyes out. How many times has the dying person that's laying there ministered to us? Why are you grieving? I'm going home. It's okay. And we're bummed. We don't want you to go. We don't want you to leave. Kind of sounds like Peter with Jesus. Oh, God, Lord, no, you can't do this. And he said, get behind me, Satan. I know where I'm going, and it's for your benefit. It's an attitude we sometimes forget when we go through the process, and it's wonderful, and it's okay to grieve. We should be grieving. But don't grieve as those that have no hope. We grieve because we're going to have a temporary separation from the one we love. But if they know Jesus, and that's why it's so important we evangelize, because we want our loved ones to know Jesus, we're going to see him again. I'm going to see my mom in heaven who sat there in the front row after she was told she was going to die 5 years earlier, and she didn't die, so we took her in for 5 years. I was like, oh my gosh, doctor said she's going to die. And my wife goes, she's not going to die. She's on morphine. She's just gooked out. They got her off of morphine. She's got 5 more years. My sister sold her apartment because she thought she was going to die, and now my mom's homeless. True story. This wonderful nurse angel to me says, we're going to take her in. I said, you realize what that means? I was a physical therapist at the time, and I was a pastor, wasn't I? Well, I still said the story, I'm not going to be able to take care of her the whole time, because I didn't have, taking care of mom for 5 years? But she did, unselfishly. And she led her to Christ. And I got to see my mom as she knows me as a physical therapist. She sits in the front row and she watches her son preach and get saved. And I'm going to see her in heaven. That's joy. I mean, who else was up here? Was up here crying and caroling. I got joy and she's bawling her eyes out. You know, I got joy and I'm crying. But that's what joy does. True joy makes you cry because you're thinking about all the wonderful things that God has done and is doing. There's people that are dying that are ministering to us. How much more should we be ministering to others while we're alive? I can't get off topic or you guys would be here all day. Yeah, he could have sought comfort from his friends, but he spent his last moments comforting and serving his followers. There was so much that could have diverted his thoughts from them, but his love was so strong for them that even under such circumstances, he washed their feet. Also remember that our Lord was well aware that one of them had already entertained the idea of betraying him. We know about Judas, right? And the majority of the rest of them were about to forsake him. We know that because it's written. Well, don't you think Jesus knew that? They were all about, but he told them, you're all about to run out on me. Judas is going to betray me. Where did he get his strength from? Where did he get his comfort from? Where did he get his solace and peace from? Daddy. Maybe today, people have disappointed you. Maybe it's people that are close to you. Maybe it's church hurts. Maybe it's a mom or dad. Maybe it's somebody who was your best friend and they're no longer your best friend. Maybe they've deserted you. Maybe they were horrible to you and stuff like that. It doesn't have to be the end of your life. Just forgive them, for they know not what they do. He took his comfort from the one who gives us comfort. And when anybody else gives us that comfort, it's just an added blessing. But when our daddy in heaven gives it to us, that's all we really need to get us through. But I thank God that not everybody does forsake us. That Jesus has made it possible for all of us to be brothers and sisters and to comfort one another and to serve one another and to wash each other's feet. Yeah, sometimes. Even when you don't feel like it. Do you think Jesus felt like it? He was getting ready? In his heart he did, because he loved them so much. But they were about to run out on him, forsake him, and turn him in. But even fully aware of this, our Lord took a towel and he washed their feet. Yes, even the traitor's feet. And he gently handled that heel that lifted up against him. So he gently lifted up the heel that acted up against him. This act of tender, considerate affection performed under such circumstances to men who acted toward him in such an ungenerous style proves to us that his love will bear even our rebellious behavior and thousands of grievous failures. Did you catch that? Even in our rebellion, even sinning 70 times 7, our Lord forgives us and still washes our feet, which you'll see in a minute. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, not based on what we've done for him, but what he's done for us. How much more, then, he says, should you do this for one another? And it's not just washing someone's other feet. Some of you need to forgive somebody. I don't feel like it. They hurt me so bad. God commands you to forgive them. Doesn't mean what they did was right. Doesn't mean you condone it. Doesn't mean they're not going to suffer circumstances for it, right? Consequences. But Jesus, look at him. He forgave us. He wasn't keeping track of how many things you did right and how many things you did wrong. He was looking and peering into our hearts. He saw the thief on the cross. How many good things did that thief do right? He was hanging on a cross. He deserved what he was getting. He had done some horrendous things, because to get the cross, you had to do some horrendous things, which Jesus was accused of and he never did. That thief had no time to do good works, but his heart was bent on knowing that he was Jesus, he was Lord, and he asked, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus read right through that and saw that man's heart, and he realized that at that point in time, he knew what he had done wrong and he deserved what he was getting, but Jesus did not. And he called him Lord, and he put his trust in him, and he was with him in paradise that very day. Are you rebellious today? Have you failed in your life over, over, and over, and over, and over again? My Bible says today is a day of salvation. What does that mean? You're going to heaven today? No, salvation is the word sozo. It means more than just your ticket to heaven. It means you can be delivered today. It means you can be healed today. It means you can turn from your sin today. And instead of looking and facing it and making it condemn you, you can turn to the cross and walk in the opposite direction. Don't do it anymore. And look and see the salvation of the Lord. That's all repentance is. Turn from what you were doing and just stop it. Jesus would put it very plainly to people when he would heal them. Go and sin no more. And praise God for the cross that when we do it again, because we're, you know, a little ignorant sometimes, and it, you know, go and sin no more. 70 times 7, go and sin no more. When are we going to get it? Whatever it is that you may be in rebellion with, just stare at the cross for 2 or 3 minutes. Realize what's been given to you forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Eternal life paid for, your ticket by Jesus, out of agony and out of crucifixion and out of the deepest love for you. That he's still willing today to wash your feet, to cleanse you. That's a metaphor now, but to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All you have to do is submit yourself and say, Lord, I'm not my own anymore. I realize you're God. I'm going to live forever. And the most I can live on this earth is maybe 100 years at best, or 120. And then forever happens. I want to live for heaven's purposes. You've got me here while I'm down here. How do you want to use me with the few years I got left? Because no matter how much of a kingdom you build on here, it ain't going with you. When we come to that realization and we realize what God has done for us and that we're eternal beings, and trust me, whether you accept Jesus or not, you're eternal beings. You're either going to spend it in heaven with him or the fires of hell with the devil. If people would just come to understand that instead of putting Jesus out of their mind, out of sight, and just do what they want to do, God help them. The Marias are praying for you, walking around and suffering dreams at night because the enemy's trying to keep her from praying. The devil's trying to steal your faith, and there's prayer intercessors out there, as well as you should be. Resist the devil and he will flee. You resisted, and what did he do? He fled. He tried to sneak back in, but you know, you out of here. You wouldn't have done that 5, 6 years ago. We all grow. And we're all in the process of growing, including me and everybody else in here. Don't ever say you've arrived. Don't get religious. Don't be like the Pharisees and Sadducees. We can learn from a little tykes I learn lessons from every day. Haven't learned from a donkey yet, but Balaam did, but I haven't. There are lessons out there. Right, Mike? Like our dogs. Remember your best friend in this world? Unconditional love. Meet you at the door, doesn't matter what kind of day you had, wherever you were, right? Dog will come up there, he's just so glad. I mean, he's so glad to see you. How many of us have, well, I won't say it, but yeah, well. Husbands and wives and kids that come up to you when you get home, dad, or even when mom comes home, and we're just there to give a hug and say, I don't care how tough your day was, I love you and I appreciate you so much, honey. You know, we laugh, but how many of us really do that? Usually, you know, we're coming in, we're throwing stuff around and stuff like that. How was your day? All right. We got to change. We got to realize that if we're going to be encouraged, it's going to happen from those that are church people, because I tell you, the world's not going to encourage you. They won't. Let's just move on and let's go to a few spiritual truths to embrace this, okay? We're told to wash each other's feet as an act of ultimate kindness and love like Jesus did, and we've got that. But now let's look at some spiritual truths that go with this, okay? Jesus washed their feet. What is that? How can we spiritual? What do we take out of that? This showed a very tender, loving concern even for the little wants. The little wants, the little things in your life that you think are being overlooked, the little things that don't really, somebody said that today again, Carolyn, the little things that just don't seem to matter. They matter to Jesus. You're an open book. God's watching your life from beginning to end. He knew you before you were ever born in your mother's womb. He'll know you to the end, as we read here. And he'll love you to the end. People go to hell. People say, God has sent me to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. You send you to hell when you don't come and trust the Lord, right? But he'll love that same person that's headed that way. For God so loved the whole world, that he sent his son. But we have to appropriate it. We have to receive it. The little things in life God pays attention to, especially the little things that we don't think that God pays attention to. It also shows his desire to provide refreshment for his people. Refreshment for his people. Do you have any idea of what an intense pleasure it is in extremely hot countries to have your feet washed upon coming in after a weary walk? Think about that. Transport yourself. Well, you don't have to. You can still do that today. I mean, the last few days have been 90 degrees. What if you're outside working out in the yard all day long in 90-degree weather and your wife plops their feet right up on the thing, didn't take a shower or nothing, says, honey, will you come wash my feet? Oftentimes, she'd get off a 12-hour shift of nursing. Honey, would you rub my feet? First thing I'd say, did you take a shower? I'm just being real. That's how we view this. I mean, you know, we're all natural in this whole thing and stuff like that. Could I have been thinking the fact that she just spent 12 hours laboring, ministering, praying over people, ministering in the emergency room to people and stuff like that, had a very difficult day and comes home to her husband, who's supposed to be a servant unto her, right? And says, you know, and makes a simple little request, could you just rub my feet? And the first thing I'm thinking of is, I don't know if I really want to touch those right now. And I know that we laugh, but those are the little things that could be huge in someone's life. How would that feel to you if you'd been on your feet all day for 12 hours, running around, and you were just aching and aching and just needed some little bit of attention? This is what Jesus is trying to tell us. Jesus was even willing to wash the disciples' feet, knowing that they had a rough day. They had a rough day, and he washed their feet. Of course, the spiritual principle goes deeper, but he washed their feet. He was about to face the roughest of all days, and he's washing their feet. Give me a break. So if we look at some of the spiritual meanings behind our Lord's action, when we're often wearied, listen, when we're often wearied by the demands of this life, the Master often comes and manifests himself in such a way to refresh us. Just like showing up for you. In just little ways, whether it's in the Word or something you've read or something you feel or a person sending you a letter or someone coming over. Don't despise the little things when you hear in that little voice say, go to your neighbor or give somebody a phone call. Folks, it matters. Those little teeny things you do in life to minister to somebody, whether it's just a phone call just to say, you know what, I appreciate you and stuff like that. It may seem really insignificant, but you might have changed the world of that person at that moment. Jesus knows that. He knows when you need that little bit of a, because you're way down here. And he does it through people. And so if you're disobedient, he has to find somebody else, because he'll get it done for you. But wouldn't you want to be that vessel that God uses to wash that other person's feet, to say that the Lord loves them, the Lord's cleansed them, the Lord appreciates them and is watching over their life, and I'm going to wash your feet. It's not me washing your feet. It's actually Jesus washing your feet. Wow, what a privilege. Oh, but it's just so difficult. Get over yourself. And it may not be today that you get over yourself. It may be a week from now, but it'll be glorious when you do. It's very humbling. It's more humbling for the person that's sitting there getting their feet washed than it is for the person doing the washing. We have to get past all of the natural things that run through our mind and begin to understand that our Lord has set an example for us to follow. And when we're doing that, and as we're washing the feet, don't act like you're just cleaning them because they're dirty, because that's not what we're doing when we're doing that. We're standing in the gap for the Lord Jesus Christ to tell that person they are deeply loved. They are loved in the small things. They are loved in the big things. They are cleansed from all unrighteousness. Jesus wants them so clean. I mean, you can say the rest. And maybe you'll say nothing. You'll just wash. And the humility that comes on the person that's receiving will receive all that they need to receive from Jesus. This is a completely and totally spiritual and physical act integrated together that Jesus did. He refreshes us. Jesus also continued to guard the purity of his church. Listen to me now, we're getting a little spiritual. He also continued to guard the purity of his church, for he said to them, you are clean. He wasn't talking about their dirty feet. He said, you're clean. Please note that this washing had to be first given to us, what did it say? By the Lord himself. See, we can't do anything apart from Christ. We can't be his hands and feet without the head, right? If you don't have a head, forget the hands and feet. The hands and feet take orders from the head. That's a physical thing. And spiritually speaking, the same thing. If we're not doing things in Christ, through Christ, under the power of the Holy Spirit, we're just getting you at your best. And you at your best, I'm sorry, ain't gonna cut it. No offense. But I want the Jesus in you. The image of Christ ministering to me in circumstances like that. Because then I know it's coming from my Savior. He says, you're clean. He's got to wash him, though. He must first wash before you can. We cannot minister without the anointing. That's what he's saying. Did you get that one? Why did he say he's got to do it first, and then he passes it on and gives us the Holy Spirit to then go out into the world and preach the gospel and to heal the sick and to, right, and deliver and stuff like that? Why did he say that? We cannot minister without the anointing. If I wasn't anointed preaching this, and I pray I am, I pray the Holy Spirit's speaking through me, then all these would be just words on a page to you. If you're reading the Bible, they're just words on a page. The devil's read it from front to back. He just doesn't believe, well, he believes it. He just doesn't obey it. That's like a person having faith and says, I got faith, but there's no fruit. Okay, really? You have to have the anointing. Do things in the strength of your... How, Pastor, how do I do it? How do I know it's in his strength? Because it's not yours. Because you're not doing it having thought it through the way you would do it. You're asking him, Lord, what do you want? And all I can tell you is that when you get into it and you begin using the gifts that God has uniquely placed in you, there will be a flow. It's kind of like me. You know, I have notes on a page, but then I just come from the whatever God's giving me from the scriptures that I've put in me to get back out. He's got to have something to work with, right? But the anointing will take that and it will move in directions to help hopefully minister to some of you in this, to get some type of truth out of it and some type of way of change so that you become more conformed into the image of Jesus. But I'm just telling you that can happen for every single one of you. But you have to purpose and make a choice of your will to cast every thought that's not of Jesus out and to put his thoughts in. And then you have something to draw from. Remember the well, to draw the water? Remember he said to the woman at the well? Oh, you need the water that I'm about to give you. You can draw all day and just drink that natural water. But the water I can give you is water unto eternal life. See, that's the anointing. We need the anointing today to minister to one another. So in summary, foot washing is a symbol of our Redeemer's continuous acts of love, caring even for our little matters, always providing refreshment for his people during our sanctification or cleansing process, always guarding the purity of his church and his people. Likewise, we should wash one another's feet, showing our love, our care, and our desire to minister to one another. Folks, what we receive, we should impart. I'll say that again. What we receive, we should impart. We give it away, right? You get it? You give it away. You're a vessel. You're a channel. You're not a sponge. For the grace which works in us should work by us. Does that make sense? God's grace that's working in us for our benefit should be working by us for those he's placed in our sphere of influence. For scripture says, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. So let us cheerfully accept this position. Nobody asked the Master to bring the basin. No one would have thought of such a thing. Do you really think the disciples at that point in time would have thought to do such a thing? It was his own heart, Jesus' own heart of love, that made him do it out of a spontaneous affection for those whom he had chosen. Let us also be ready to perform such an act of humility for our brethren, no matter how lowly it may seem. May we become just like Jesus. So whether today again, or whenever the Lord may lead you in the future to consider this humble act as a token of your love to whomever God directs you, you make that decision. Right now, we're just going to play a song, and for those that, again, desire to participate in this act, then you remain. For those that want to wash those that are participating in the act, you may remain as well. But if you're not going to do either one, and it's going to be sometime you actually are led to do it in the future, God bless you, and I pray blessings on you for the coming week. Pray to see you next week, and I love you guys, and I just pray that God speaks to your heart today as to what you're to do.